grace. And thank you, Christy, for reading that gospel lesson, which we will be returning to in a few moments. But first, we're going to tell a different story. We're going back to our first story from the book of Genesis, the second and third chapter of Genesis, these words. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall die." Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God say you shall not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die.' But the serpent said, 'You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good from evil.' So when they saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, they took of the fruit and ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and covered themselves." The word of the Lord. A familiar story that you've heard many times. 60 years ago today, I was 5 days old. Soon I would be carried to the baptismal font at Trinity Lutheran Church in DeKalb, Illinois. Of course, I had no idea what was happening. What was I up to? Treats and snoozing, snoozing and treats, and an occasional messy diaper. That's about it. I had no idea what was going on. Now, all four of my grandparents were there, aunts and uncles too. My name would be entrusted to me, named after my uncle Jim and a recently deceased great grandfather, Martin Lindis. 60 years ago, I would be carried to the baptismal font. It would mark a new beginning for me. Words of grace and water, and a community of Norwegian farmers, blue-collar workers, and stay-at-home moms that promised to raise me upright and care for me and make sure that I knew that Jesus loved me. And God was mysteriously present. The one who had formed me, the one who gave shape to the cosmos, the one who gave legs to the caterpillar and color to the flowers and the fish and the parrots. God met me in the waters just as God had formed me in the silent waters of my mother's womb. They carried me to the font. I had no idea what was happening. I had accomplished nothing in my life. My name did not appear on an honor roll. I had accomplished absolutely nothing. I was not able to walk or talk or even consent to this baptism. I had nothing to offer God or my family or my church family. Truth be known, I was 7 pounds of liability with some potential for the future. My 28-year-old mother, Barbara Elliott Lindis, held me close that day. I'm guessing that my older sister and brother were there, but they were not allowed to escape the pew to come forward to the baptismal font. Not allowed in those days. Baptism. The water cascaded off my head, and the promises of God were spoken. "Jim, you are loved, you are forgiven, and you are never, never alone." Now fast forward, 52 years later, 2011, my name still had never appeared on any honor roll. On my own, I had accomplished absolutely nothing. I was a small town pastor from a wide spot in the road on Whidbey Island. 52 years had passed since my mother had carried me to the baptismal font. The seasons had beautifully, magically, and all too quickly passed. It was the first day of summer. Emily, my youngest, and I walked into the nursing home in DeKalb, Illinois. My mother was sitting in a wheelchair in the hallway. She opened her eyes as we stroked her hand and spoke her name. Pleased to see us, she introduced us to her nurse. "This is my son Jim and his girlfriend." 45 minutes later, Emily lovingly fed her grandmother lunch. Grandma wanted to know what Emily wanted for Christmas. She thought it was Christmas Eve. She thought every day was Christmas Eve. She told Emily that she could wear her wedding dress. We had a wonderful visit. It was precious and loving. Many kisses, lots of hand-holding, tender words. And when it was time to go, I said, "I love you, Mom." She said, "I love you too." I said, "You've been the most wonderful mother to me." Peace registered on her face, and she said, "That's all I need to know." A kiss and a hug. "We're going to be leaving now, Mom. We're going." She said, "Do you want me to come with you?" "No, Mom, you're fine here." And as we walked away, she said, "I will be coming home later." It was, as it turned out, a final goodbye. There would be no more. No more hugs, no more kisses, no more stories about my childhood. It was the circle of life. When we are born, someone who does not yet know us puts her very life on the line, laboring to bring us into the world. Someone who does not yet know us risks dying to give us life. It is the circle of life. We need to be fed and carried. We discover then at some point our hands and our feet, and soon we're crawling. And then we learn to walk, and we run, and we ride a bike, and we drive a car, and we explore, and we create a little mischief. And we fall in love. And we think that it will all last forever. For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. The circle of life. We carry them to the font. They could not survive without us. Mom is the center of the universe. For a while, time passes. One season slips into the next. They are no longer little, and we are no longer the center of their world. No, we age. We creak. We are reminded daily of our mortality. The circle of life is turning on us. The hands that were steady and the feet that were sure are now no longer so. The arms that once seemed invincible now need to be held. Yeah, I never planned on being this old. I never thought of myself as old. The circle of life. And there is one constant, and that is God. And God's never failing love for us. This morning at the 9:30 service, Joseph John and Cooper Elliott were baptized, cousins. Their parents carried them to the baptismal font. You know, there are two sacraments in the Lutheran Church, baptism and Holy Communion. One is about birth, and one is a sustaining meal. But the promises of both are the same. We are loved, we are forgiven, we are never alone. The sacraments speak about our identity. God uses the common elements of bread and wine and water to remind us of who we are and where we have come from. Ash Wednesday was last Wednesday, ushering in this season of Lent, 40 days, not counting Sundays, that lead us to Holy Week and Easter. Now, what is Ash Wednesday about? It's about identity. Remember, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. We come from God, and we will return to God. Now, let me say very clearly that you don't have to believe that. In fact, you don't have to believe in God. You don't have to believe that to be a good, upstanding member of society, and you don't have to believe that to be a very good neighbor. We come from God and we will return to God. You don't have to believe that. Just like you don't have to believe in gravity. But your belief or lack of belief will not change reality. Gravity is real. God is real. We come from God and we will return to God. Believe it or not. Identity. Our lessons today, both of them are really about identity. Adam and Eve were tempted, but eating the apple was not the temptation. They had plenty of organically grown food to choose from. The temptation was to eat of the forbidden fruit so that they could escape their humanness and be like God. You see, the temptation was about identity. The devil said, do not settle. There's no need to be human. Eat and you'll have knowledge and you'll be like God. And so they believed the devil. They ate, but believing did not change reality. The lies were just that, lies. They were still human, but now they were in timeout. They experienced shame. Trust had been broken. And they hid from God, and they hid from each other, and they realized that they were naked. For a moment, they forgot their identity, and for a lifetime, they would live with the consequences. Now, in our gospel lesson that Christy read for us, it's very much the same story. The devil tempts Jesus. The deceiver makes all kinds of extravagant promises, but they were lies. The temptations were the same as the temptation in the garden. The devil tempted Jesus to reject his identity, to reject his humanness, and consequently to turn his back on the human race. If you really are the Son of God, Jesus, then act like it. Be the Son of God. Forget these humans. Forget pain and suffering and hunger. Reject the cross. You deserve more, Jesus. Reject the identity that God has given you. Take what you have coming to you. Because Jesus, don't you understand? The rules don't apply to you. The rules don't apply to you. My friends, if you ever hear those words from the lips of a beautiful woman, or from your CPA, or from your boss at work, or from some snake dressed in a fraternity blazer, turn and walk away, or get ready to be in timeout. Now, none of my grandparents were educated. They were hardworking first-generation Americans who were just trying to survive. A cook, a bus driver, a sharecropper, a road worker, no pedigree, no education, no money. I never saw them read a book except the Bible. My grandma Linda used to say to me over and over again, remember who you are. This was not a comment on our social status or lack of social status. She was reminding me and my siblings that we were raised in a certain way, that we were raised by Christian people with Christian values. Remember who you are, she said to me as she held onto my cheeks and looked me in the eye. When did this happen? Every time I was leaving the family cocoon. Whenever I journeyed off to Bible camp, on a road trip with my friends, to a high school dance, to a golf tournament, or even off to college, that's right, even at 18 years of age, she would hold my face and say, remember who you are. Don't forget. Remember the values you were taught. Remember that you bear our family name, and remember that you are a child of God bearing the name of Jesus. Now go, have fun. See the world, but remember who you are. Remember your dust, and to dust you shall return. It is the circle of life. Remember that you came from God, and you will return to God. And that God loves you always, forgives you always, and will never, ever leave your side. And nothing will change that. Nothing. We are in this together, my friends. We're on this journey together. And there is more to see than can ever be seen, and more to do than can ever be done. Yes, we are a part of something much bigger than ourselves. Remember, someone risked their life to bring you into this world, and someone died on that cross that you might have life. Yes, from stroller to walker, from birth to death, we belong to God. And we are a part of the circle of life.